Thank you, Rick. Is this working? Okay. Boy, I can't tell. So what I'm going to do is, well, first of all, thank you for all coming and making this workshop a success. I've got two goals for my what I hope is going to be about a 20-minute presentation. The first is to give you a little bit more of an idea, but probably not enough of an idea, but a little bit more of an idea of what NPCDS is and what I hope to see happen tomorrow afternoon and Saturday morning. And then the second part of the presentation will be a little bit more technical, and I will talk about some ideas that I have on local likelihood point process intensity estimation. And actually, before I go into the details of NPCDS, I just want to point out that on your schedule there's time scheduled Saturday afternoon for NPCDS planning, and there's a speaker. As far as I know, the speaker cannot come, and so my proposal is that Saturday afternoon we cut things off at lunchtime. That gives people who are sticking around maybe an afternoon to see some sights in Toronto. Okay, what is NPCDS? Well, actually, I don't really know because I'm not the director, but Jamie Stafford, who will be giving a bit of an introduction to NPCDS. He'll explain correctly what it is tomorrow. But what I understand is that it's the National Program for Complex Data Structures, which is an NSERC-funded organization, with its principal goal, as I understand it, to bring together statisticians and other researchers to conduct interdisciplinary research. The program provides such groups with a small amount of money to set up projects, and with the idea that a network of researchers, at least nationally, in Canada, can be set up. The I've got international with a question mark there, because it's not so clear to me whether in fact that's what's in mind. It's in my mind that it would be international. That's where I'd like to see. That's why we've got international people at this workshop. Funding is primarily for supporting graduate students and perhaps postdocs, and perhaps a follow-up workshop as well. There is a workshop that is in the works for a year from now, which is related but not directly. So the NPCDS idea, or the mechanism, goes in two phases. And there's the first phase is what they call an inaugural workshop, and the second phase is to actually proceed to start doing some of this interdisciplinary research. And so so in fact, whether you knew it or not, you're participating in phase one. I put a proposal in for funding for an inaugural workshop, and that proposal did succeed, and it was incorporated into the field's workshop that you're participating in. And so so whether you wanted to or not, you're in. Phase two is what Friday and Saturday morning are about. Friday afternoon and Saturday morning are about. And what do I want to? What's my agenda? Well, my agenda is to put forward a full NPCDS proposal on stochastic modeling or statistical modeling in forestry, because statisticians, and I think it's become clear here, have an important role to play in forestry. And here's some goals that Are they all motherhood statements? Probably. To facilitate interactions between statisticians and forestry researchers, to spur development of statistical methodology, and to solve forestry problems which have a statistical aspect or difficulty. So what do I want to see happen tomorrow afternoon and Saturday morning is to identify the main objective, to actually come up with a focus, to identify co-leaders. Now there are people who have been helping me put this workshop together, and they actually are helping already with the NPCDS, and those are Dave Martell and Charmaine Dean. Rick Schoenberg he's helped put this workshop together, and Heigenusch Preissler, is she left already? Okay, she's also being involved at a sort of leadership role. But I want to sort of solidify who's actually going to be leading this NPCDS project. Start to identify the network of people who are interested and willing to participate, and begin to identify sub-projects which will contribute to the main objective, as well as the leaders of those sub-projects. Perhaps those would correspond to the co-leaders, but not necessarily. And to identify possible funding partners. What's the scope? Well, I've put down three things here, but I think this is part of what we want to identify tomorrow. I've suggested that forestry ecology, forestry hydrology, and forestry fires would be the scope. Okay, so maybe that's sort of the end of talk one. Maybe I'll open it up for questions for just a minute or so. Well, I can close it back down. Yes? That's right. Well, it's 60,000 in matching funds, so you could realistically support four or five graduate students, and so the idea would possibly be that we'd identify maybe three or four locations where there'd be a grad student being funded. The scope should be we do need to focus. Yes. Although, actually, I should point out that the money is seed funding as well, and so the idea is that. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Now I'll go into the technical side of my presentation, which is this is work that a PhD student of mine is it's related closely to work that a PhD student of mine has been doing for the last year or so, and that is it's an offshoot of local likelihood estimation that's become quite popular in recent years, and we thought that maybe point process intensity estimation could benefit from this kind of approach. So although Rafael and some of the other people who are going to come after me will give better introductions to what a point process intensity is, I will attempt to give at least a rough version of what a point process intensity is, and also at least to display what a point process likelihood is, in order just for you to see what my ideas about local point process likelihood are, and I'll finish off with a quick application that I threw together actually last night to local constant intensity estimation for Ontario fires during a particular period, and I'll finish off with future work. and I hope to do this all in about 10 minutes, so let's see if we can do that. For a homogeneous Poisson process, which I denote by capital N of T, which is basically counting up the number of events between time 0 and time T, so you could think of those as perhaps ignitions, where with a constant rate lambda, the expected number of ignitions then in time t can be written as an integral, which ends up just being the rate lambda times t. That rate can be called an intensity. Now, I know for fires, of course, we've heard a lot about intensity, and what I'm meaning by intensity here is just the rate, not anything to do with the actual intensity of a particular fire. So for an inhomogeneous Poisson process, we can express the expected number of fires up to time t as an integral of this rate function, which can then vary with time. And in fact, there's an alternate interpretation where, in fact, you look at small intervals of size h, really small, and just check to see what the probability is that you'd have an ignition in such a small interval divided by the size of the interval, and that's an approximation to the intensity at time u as well. For non-Poisson processes, we can also define an intensity, and that intensity will depend on the past, which I will just denote by h sub t. So the likelihood, we can set up a point process likelihood, and actually I forgot to mention that I'm looking at things only temporally, because Rolf and I, we don't get along, so Rolf looks at things only spatially and I look at things temporally, and as soon as we become friends, then maybe we'll put things together. I'm waiting to learn something as well, but anyway, so the advantage to my approach is that I can just write down a likelihood without worrying about all sorts of niceties that Rolf has to worry about in the spatial case. The likelihood depends on this intensity in that particular way. That's actually the log likelihood. And so the idea, people like David Veer Jones have done a lot of work, and Yoshi Agata and many prominent point process people have done work on parametric estimation of these intensities. What I'm proposing is to do a non-parametric type intensity estimation, where instead of estimating this thing globally, I'm going to estimate it locally according to some kernel function, and this is where Jennifer and I struggled for quite a while, was trying to figure out exactly what form this local likelihood could take in order to actually give sensible results. And it's turned out that in fact what you can do here is relatively simple. It's in the kernel function, where the interesting things are supposed to take place. And this was actually something that to me was quite surprising. Perhaps to some of you, maybe that's fairly obvious that has to happen. But to me, it was I was expecting that we'd have to do fancy things in here. So what's actually happening here is we're simply saying that we're going to compute this log likelihood relative to some point, to some grid point x, and you can think of in this case you can think of x as just being a time point. And we're just going to look in a neighborhood of x. So we're just going to look at the points close by to x. But I've incorporated the history into the kernel. And I won't. I'll give you some simple examples of the kernel. So here's one very simple example of a kernel. If you simply look at basically you look at the time lapse since the most recent lightning strike. Okay, you simply look at the time since the most recent lightning strike, L standing for the lightning strike point process. And so in that particular case, then we can write down this local likelihood. And the idea is that we want to maximize this then with respect to some approximate form to this intensity, in a very simple approximate form. In fact, we can use just a local constant. Okay, so if you just plug in a sub zero into this form here, and of course, because we're taking a log there, we have to take e to the a sub zero. Then you just do simple one variable calculus. Unlike Steve, who can do second year calculus, I rely on just first year calculus here. You just maximize with respect to a sub zero, and you can come up with this very simple formula for estimating this estimating some object. Now, is that the intensity? I suppose in a sense you could argue that it's some sort of approximation to the intensity, but what it actually is something somewhat different. Now in fact we can take kernels of more complicated form, not a lot more complicated, and come up with estimators which correspond to estimators that are related to Brillinger's cross intensity function estimate. Okay, and what this can be used to do is to simply relate the fire ignitions to all the lightning strikes that you've got. Now, why do this? Well, one of the reasons for doing this is that we can incorporate linear and quadratic adjustments, and so how can you do that? Well, you simply add linear and quadratic terms to that log lambda approximation, and then you have to use multivariable calculus, maximize with respect to A0, A1, and A2 if you've included it, and these can give you more precise estimates. Here's an even simpler application where in fact we now ignore the lightning strikes, and I'm just going to focus on the ignitions. In this case, the kernel function that I'm using is a very simple one. It's just a kernel which depends on the difference between the grid point that we're doing our evaluation at and the location of the ignition. That kernel function, by the way, I'll just be taking it to be a Gaussian probability density function for this application. If we solve the local likelihood problem, we simply get something that looks very much like a density estimate. In fact, it's I think Steve Cumming yesterday, I think it was you, who basically used something very similar to this kind of estimator when you were estimating your own intensity for Alberta and Saskatchewan there, I think. The advantage to this kind of approach is that we can include other variables as covariates. So if I want to break things down in terms of year, but estimate everything all at once, I can do that. It turned out, as I was working through this last night, that in fact this particular problem if we do things with local constant, is actually equivalent to it turns out to be exactly equivalent to computing separate intensity estimates for each year. So this particular application may not be all that useful. But if we go to local linear and local quadratic, which are more going to be more accurate anyway, in that case we may be borrowing strength from the different years. The reason I didn't show you what those results are is because that will require more programming, which I didn't have time to do last night. But here's my data analysis. These are the local constant intensity estimates for the province of Ontario for ignitions in the province of Ontario from 1990 to 2002, and in fact these can then be viewed as these rates. What do I want to do in the future? Well, I want to implement the local linear and the local quadratic first order intensity estimator that I guess I started working on last night, and want to continue, and Jennifer will be continuing to look at higher order intensity and cross intensity estimates, including additional covariates and also including covariates involving things like district and fuel types and this sort of thing. So I think that's where I'm stopping.